Welcome to Tech Revolution Africa podcast series, your one-stop shop for everything related to technology and all things Africa, the only podcast in the world dedicated to discussing the use of technology for optimizing businesses and organizations in Africa. I am your host, Jeff Bamba, president and founder of InfoView Data Solutions Limited, an IT consulting and software development company based in Ghana. With specialty in mobile, web, database, big data, and enterprise cloud solutions for businesses and governments. This is episode 3, the continuation of our topic from episode 2, Cloud Computing, Opportunities, Challenges, Solutions for African SMEs and ICT Enterprises. You can follow us on Twitter under the username at InfoVIEWGH and can be found at www.techrevolutionafrica.com. or www.idscorpgh.com, or you can also find it on iTunes. In episode 2 of this topic, we discussed what cloud computing is. We also gave examples of how InfoView uses cloud services for development of its products and client services. We talked about lack of clarity from African government's policy on data protection and its impact on cloud computing adoption, and also talked about the challenges of internet network speed and access to broadband internet access and its impact on cloud adoption. Today I have with me my colleagues Ethel Kofi and Franklin Parker. Ethel Kofi is a technology solutions product manager at Vodafone Ghana. She's also the founder of Barcamp Africa UK Movement. I also have my colleague Franklin Parker, who is a senior software developer and tech lead with IBM and the founder of the LinkedIn group Interest Africa. With that said, I turn to my colleague, Franklin Parker.
Well, maybe I would like to just ask a question, and that is, what do you think either Jeff or Eth can be done to expedite and overcome many of these obstacles that both of you have so well pointed out? What is it? Is this a role that for government to expedite this process? And how do you foresee that happening? Or what do you think can expedite this process? And part of it, what you mentioned earlier, Jeff, was just the awareness. That's another issue. How do you increase the awareness of the benefits of cloud computing in African countries?
I will say from awareness standpoint, in regard to adoption of cloud services, the private sector and the government needs to be a partnership between the two. So for the government to play a role, obviously, it touches on some of the policy issues that Ethel pointed out. The government needs to have clear policy and regulation so that the private sector will know how the markets should work. The other aspect also is that companies or individuals, specifically the consumer market, is already in some ways, at least the 30% that have smartphones in some ways are already leveraging cloud computing services or resources they're just not aware of. For example, my mother, who has a series of boutiques. In the past, what she had to do by getting her accountants to prepare financial statements, she had to take her journal entries, which is handwritten in a book by her store clerks, go give it to the accountant. The accountant have to manually enter it into his Excel spreadsheet and crunch the numbers and generate financial statements. I met the accountant and pretty much educated him by communicating there is an alternative to this process. The alternative is that my mother can manually enter these, instead of writing in a journal entry, enter it into Google Sheets, which you'll be granted access to those Google Sheets. The Google Sheets acts an Excel application that you have on your local computing resource, which is your laptop. With that, you will have 24/7 on-demand access to the Google Sheets. When he recognizes that, he automatically saw an opportunity to even apply the same process with most of his customers that he's dealing with, where they were using the same manual process of delivering a handwritten journal entries for him to manually re-enter again. So part of that education needs to happen from the private sector by, one, recognizing the inefficiencies within the process and looking at what tools they already have access to. Because he already had access to Google Sheets by just having a Google email address. So it needs to be a partnership from the consumer side, demanding that efficiency of processes, as well as the private enterprises responding with solutions for that. But the government definitely needs to create rules and regulations so that there's clarity in the market. Ethel, what's your thought on that?
Well, so I have a couple of thoughts. Now, one of the things that could happen is to local companies to actually have trade organizations that then become, I guess, lobby with governments to push the agenda for regulation. Now, that's very effective. That works. That's been seen in the telecoms area to work. That when the players in the market get together and form trade organizations and begin to lobby government, they make an impact. The other thing is that governments, they belong to these groupings. So they belong to the ITU, they belong to all these organizations that do have cloud computing, almost areas and specializations, and then the ITU has it, IICT has it, and a lot of African governments actually belong to these organizations. So I guess it's the fact that if there is more lobbying from that side and governments begin to understand why they need to and how it stimulates the entrepreneurship environment, how it stimulates small businesses, and how it creates economies of scale and creates flexibility. I keep saying, when I realized that M-Pesa is on a cloud computing platform, I realized, well, let's tell that story. Let's say M-Pesa can scale, and M-Pesa has something like 210 transactions per second happening. And the numbers are mind-boggling if you actually do, this is per second interactions that hits the M-Pesa platform, right? So that's not just one transaction. So if somebody sends money from, point A to point B, it's not just one transaction, it's probably three or four transactions that happen. And all that, that's 210 of that hitting the M-Pesa platform per second. Now, using cloud computing means that they can scale up and down as quickly as possible without having to spend all that money. I mean, we need to tell the story. Enterprise and businesses, small businesses need to tell the story. It's more effective if we have trade organizations that do the lobbying, and also using the organizations that we belong to, like the ITU, to be able to also push the agenda. I mean, Europe has cloud computing, a part of the European Union Assembly, they have a cloud computing session, which is great. I mean, and we need to point them in that direction.
I guess one of the things that I think might be a possibility is create incubation environments. And maybe this comes down to some kind of trade organizations, but working somewhat with the government to create these enabling environments where we could have places where you develop some of the resources that might need some infusion of capital from somewhere as test beds in African countries. Do either of you think this is a possibility?
I would say that creating the incubators, I am aware in Ghana, where METS create incubator companies that allows them to be able to leverage services, and irrespective of whether the compute power is local or whether it's in a cloud. I do believe that will help, but I will say only that will not drive the adoption of cloud services. I want to add and want to share from my perspective. I do believe that cloud is an option or an opportunity for any individual or any small ICT startup to be able to get up and quickly run with an idea that they have to provide a service or a product to the market. And how they do that is simply by signing up to any of the cloud vendors, whether it's from Microsoft Azure platform, or whether it's from Google Compute Engine, or whether it's from Amazon AWS, or whether it's from any of the South African vendors that Eto'o pointed out to, which we will provide the links on the show notes. But the roadmap to getting up and running with your company in Africa is simply create an account, read what requires to be able to transmit, store, or use that resource, and start using it. Because if you want to wait for government's response, I will tell you that you will wait till that kingdom come. Government is slow to respond, although they have a big role in setting up the policy and laws around cloud computing. If you wait, you're going to wait till the end of time. Get up, start your company, use the what is available, whether it's cloud or whether you have your own local server. If you're going to use cloud, just go ahead and use it, because it's the quickest way to getting through the hurdles of waiting for a broadband to your office or to your home. It's the quickest way to get the challenges around having your to manage your own power redundancy to you, you know, to powering your servers. Is the quickest way to working around access to software configuration and installation. Is the quickest way to even leveraging outsourcing resources outside of your country to build products for you. So I'm very bullish, if you haven't read in between the lines, on using cloud services. That's just my thought.
I would like to ask though that, I mean, one of the numbers I was looking at, the ITU numbers, said within emerging markets that 50% of small businesses are using cloud computing of some sort, which I'm not sure these numbers, do you, Jeff or Franklin, do you believe these numbers are right? And could it just be that they're using, you know, things like Google Pages and things like that, which make it make the numbers look impressive?
I will say that your last statement is correct. Keep in mind, small businesses in Africa and the emerging markets are usually a company owned or a business owned by an individual, right? That individual have to be innovative in whichever way possible to save money and to be efficient. Most of these emerging markets, small businesses are using services such as Google Pages, or using services such as Google Docs, or using services such as Boxy, or using services such as, you know, SugarSync or Dropbox to store information or to move information from one computing resource to another. So from that standpoint, I would say that plays a big role in the numbers game in terms of what the number, the 40% that you stated from emerging markets there. If the definition of small business in emerging markets tends to be Jeff, who has 10 employees, rather than a definition of small business in the Western world, which is a small business that starts from 10 to 50 employees or 10 to 1,000 employees.
I would agree with your conclusion, Jeff, and I would add that it may be considered using the cloud, even some of the internet use that people do. You could call that the cloud, not even the extent of Google Docs. Just email even could be considered cloud, right?
Yeah, some email services are cloud-based. For example, there is an email service, I forgot the exact name, pretty much encrypts all email storage, inbound and outbound, for those that are very sensitive to government organization looking at their email. That particular email service runs on Google's Compute Engine cloud service so that they can scale up and down. It uses the Google Compute Engine as its infrastructure. However, the application itself is developed by this particular company. So with that said, I mean, the viewpoint of what cloud can do for an African ICT startup or a business, small or big, I do believe that the opportunity is big. You can, if you don't have access to productivity suite such as Office, you can use Google Office or Google Docs as your as free service. And small business is being counted under the bandwidth of numbers that Ethel pointed out in an emerging market. I do believe that it is an opportunity for the African market or an ICT company within emerging markets to quickly work around the challenges within their environment by using cloud.
Maybe my question would be, a lot of this involves human capital and the ability for people to even understand and what the cloud is and how to use it better. So to me, there may be an education component in the way education can be evolving in Africa to make people more aware or to give them the necessary technical skills to be able to really fully utilize the power of the cloud. I'd be interested to hear both Ethel and Jeff, your opinion on that, and do you see any positive changes in terms of that aspect?
I think that there has to be a concerted effort. I don't particularly know who that's going to come from, but I think that when small businesses or enterprises need solutions, they search, and when they search, they just like Jeff was mentioning with the Google Docs and the spreadsheet, that they find solutions just based on a need, and they find solutions. Education needs to happen. I'm just concerned about whose responsibility that might be and who ideally should be pushing the agenda. And it might well be that it's local cloud computing partners or local cloud computing services that for their business must necessarily educate the populace on, you know, the good sides and the positives of cloud computing. I'm curious though, because obviously Jeff's organization leverages on cloud computing, and I'm curious to know, Jeff, how you work with your clients, how you educate your clients, and also the projects that you might have done of the obviously, cloud computing and the good and the bad.
So, well, let me give you a specific example. Our products that we are currently developing, we're developing two mobile applications. And mobile applications obviously are delivered on the endpoint device where they really do not care or know where the service is running, right? So our clients really will not necessarily care. All they know is that I need my data and I get access to my data on my phone, right? One product which we are developing for school management is that schools will be able to manage enrollments as well as be able to manage attendance and whatnot via a mobile device. And parents will be able to access this information also via a mobile device. That's a product we are currently developing. So with those two types of consumer markets, whether it's the school or whether it's the parent, we don't need to spend the a lot of effort in educating them. We need to make sure that the service is available so that they can get access to the data whenever, wherever. However, for a scenario of delivering a product to a financial services company like a bank, that requires a lot of education, and also it requires a lot of training, because perceptions can sometimes kill the product before the product even lands. One of the challenges that I've read in a lot of blog posts in a lot of IT News Africa blog, which is it's a site company in South Africa. One of the challenges that in South Africa where they were facing in adoption of cloud was lack of education. So there was a lot of push from both media organizations as well as private organizations to be able to tell the story or give examples, like you pointed out, Ethel, with M-Pesa running on a cloud infrastructure, saying that these products you already using are already on a cloud environment. So there's no point to fear or no point to worry about your data or security of your data. Now, security is very clear concern for everybody, including myself. However, in the absence of the capital and infrastructure challenges, what alternative do you have? You bite the bullet to protect your data and to leverage the cloud computing service that's available to you. So I think the market can demand specific efficiencies or capabilities, and the private sector can respond to those demands by, you know, through education and through offering of these cloud services. But obviously, based on Franklin's question, there needs to be a concerted effort in educating the market. Creating a new market always requires education, by the way. So creating a cloud service market in Africa requires a push from the media, from the private sector, ICT organizations, from the telcos, because the telcos also benefit, right? Because their networks is where most of the endpoint devices are going to run to access these services. So it needs to be a concerted effort across board. And the government needs to play a role by clearly setting the rules and rules of engagement so that there's clarity. But my bullish perspective, without that policy standpoint, I'll still say the private sector can respond. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Tech Revolution Africa podcast. We are excited about next edition of this podcast series, and we hope you will tune in for that episode. For more information about this podcast series, you can find us at www.techrevolutionafrica.com or on iTunes. You can also find this recording on lipsync.com. For my panelists, Franklin Parker, Ethel Kofi, and myself, thanks for joining us today.